I think one of the greatest misunderstandings that we have in the modern church is what ministry actually is. And it may be because the use of the terminology has changed over the years, but today we're thinking about the house of God and the ministry. Ministry isn't something that is meant to belong to a select few people. We might think that ministry is for the pastors, the preachers, the evangelists, the worship leaders, the missionaries. Ministry is for all of us. Ministry doesn't just happen on a platform. It doesn't just happen in a pulpit. It doesn't just happen in a brightly lit room. The New Testament teaches us something that's radically different about ministry. Ministry is something that belongs to the whole body of Christ. All of us can participate in ministry. The church was never meant to be a place where a few people perform. It wasn't meant to be a place where everyone is a passenger and just watches what happens. The church is meant to be a living body where every member has an important part or function. The truth is, every believer is called, every disciple is gifted, and every Christian has a ministry. But we have different gifts and different ministries. The truth is, God did not save you to come to Rayleigh once a week and sit in a chair. God destined you for far more than that. He saved you so that you could serve. He didn't redeem you just to be a spectator. He redeemed you to be a servant. He redeemed you to participate in his work, to help build kingdom and to build it here. Today in our series of discipleship and following Jesus, we come to this powerful truth, the house of God, the ministry. And the question before us this morning is, are you merely attending church? Or are you building church? Let's begin with the words of the Apostle Paul on our first point. Christ gave gifts to build his church. I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. For context, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesians from prison. Even though he's in chains, his concern is the glory of Christ and the maturity of the church. He teaches that after Christ has ascended in victory, that's when he gave gifts to the church. And these leadership gifts were not set aside just for leaders. They were given so that everyone could participate in ministry. The gifts of the Spirit were given to equip the saints, and that changes everything. Not just the select few, but everyone. I'm sorry to say that the pastor of a church is not called to do everything. I know there are those in churches that think that the pastor should do everything, but it's just not physically possible. But one thing I am called to do is help to prepare you to serve the Lord, to help you to grow closer to him, to help you know what the gifting is that God has given you, that you might use it for him. The Greek word that's used for equip is katartismos. It means to restore, to prepare, to make fully ready. It was used as a medical term for the setting of broken bones. It was used as a term for repairing fishing nets. Ministry helps us to be prepared to serve. Because serving the Lord is our proper function. Serving the Lord is what we are meant to do. We are meant to function properly within the body of Christ. And our goal is not numbers. A gong is maturity. Not dependence, not celebrity Christianity, not consumer church, but maturity, spiritual maturity. I think for years, people have measured the spirituality, the strength of a church, just by counting numbers, just by counting how many people attended on a Sunday. But the real measure is discipleship. How are people spiritually growing? How are people serving? How are people living in holiness? How are people growing more like Christ every day? That should be the measure of a church. You know, the church is strongest when everyone serves. The church is strongest when there is unity, when we all pull in the same direction, when we all follow the will of the Lord and do what he has called us to do. But in the 21st century, we live in a consumer culture. People ask, what does the church offer me? But disciples should be asking the question, how can I serve Christ here? You see, consumers attend, but disciples contribute. Consumers will evaluate, but disciples sacrifice. Consumers sit back, but disciples step forward. The house of God was never meant to be a religious hotel. It was never meant to be somewhere where you just come to relax. Yes, we come into the presence of the Lord. Yes, as we worship him, we're not meant to be striving. We're meant to be in relationship with him. But there are far too many people who are passengers. There are far too many people who treat the church as the comfortable place to rest. But resting in the Lord doesn't mean not serving the Lord. We are meant to be a family on a mission. We are meant to be heading in the same direction. We're meant to be seeking the same result. Imagine for a moment a football team. You've got 11 players who are running themselves ragged while there are thousands of people watching them from the stands. And I'm sure there are people in the stands watching the football players that are shouting out advice on what should be done. And often that feels how church works. There's a few people that seemingly are running everywhere, doing everything, but there are passive observers who think that they are wiser than those that are involved on the pitch. The crazy thing is that ministry, if it works correctly, would say that everyone should be on the field, that everyone should be involved, that everyone should be serving, participating, active. But it doesn't feel that way in the church. John Piper said this, "The church is not a gathering of consumers, it is a gathering of ministers." And this is a deeply biblical statement. We are not just here to receive, we are here to serve. Good days, bad days, rainy days, hot days. We are meant to be serving our Lord. Second point, every believer has a gift and a stewardship. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 to 11. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Again, for context, Peter is writing to believers who have been scattered because of persecution. He was writing to Christians who were really suffering. Yet Peter doesn't tell them to go and hide. He doesn't tell them to retreat from ministry. He tells them to serve. Why does he do that? Because suffering doesn't cancel our calling. Trials do not remove our purpose. In fact, some of the greatest ministry happens in seasons of pain. God often uses wounded servants to help wounded people. We often experience things at some time in our lives so that later on in our life that we can draw alongside someone who is going through something similar to what we went through. And rather than just offering nice statements, we can speak from a position of knowledge and experience of how God is able to bring us through, to carry us. When we are weak, he is strong. Often we experience things to enable us to be a blessing to someone else much later on. The Greek word that's used for gift is charisma. It means grace gift. Something freely given to us by God's grace. Not something that we've earned, not something that we've manufactured, something that we have received. And because it's grace given, it must be grace used. There's a stewardship that's involved here. The word steward, it carries the idea of managing something that belongs to someone else. The grace gift that God has given you is not your possession. It's something that God has entrusted to you. But notice that Peter says here, each of you. Not some of you, not the talented few, not the confident extroverts. He says, each of you. Every believer has been entrusted with something. I can see some of you are thinking, what, me? Yeah, you. Some are called to preach, some are called to encourage, some are called to lead, some are called to pray, some are called to give, and some are just called to serve quietly when no one else notices. A bit like an iceberg, you can only see the tip, and yet there's loads going on underneath the surface. And whether you preach or encourage or lead or pray or give or serve in a way that no one notices, every type of service is important. Friends, there's no unnecessary members in the body of Christ. You should never feel like you're an extra arm or a spare leg or a third ear or a third eye. Every single one of us is called to serve. And every single one of us has been given a gift that can be used for the glory of God. Does your hand despise your foot because it doesn't get to touch the floor all the time? It doesn't, does it? Our feet, our hands, our eyes have a different purpose, but they're important. The person on the platform must not ignore the prayer warrior. The preacher should never overlook the cleaner. The worship leader must not forget the importance of the intercessor. And maybe, humanly speaking, we do miss or ignore what others do. But heaven sees each and every one of us. God sees each and every one of us. He sees where our hearts are and what truly motivates us. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 7. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. The Apostle Paul here is destroying comparison. Different gifts, same Spirit, different ministries, same Lord, different workings, same God. You know, comparison is poison in ministry. I mean, maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, oh, there's someone who sings really well. I'm not gifted enough to sing. Or maybe you think, well, I speak in tongues or I speak in prophecy, and my gift matters far more than the gift of hospitality or the gift of administration or the gift of. The spiritual gift, the grace gift that God has given to each of us, is not meant to be something that we're proud of. It's not meant to be something that we use to wave as a flag to berate others. God has given you your gift to serve him. Not to compare yourself to others, but to serve him in love. Actually, both of those things are wrong. The issue is not prominence, the issue is faithfulness. God has not asked you to be someone else. He's asked you to be faithful with what he's given to you. A traditional watch is full of tiny little parts. Some have a large function, some have a microscopic function. But if you remove a single spring or the battery, the whole watch stops. In the same way, the church cannot function properly when members withdraw, when there's a part missing. Each of us matters far more than we realise when it comes to the service of the Lord. Max Lucado said this: no one can do everything, but everyone can do something. That is a wonderfully true statement. And that something may be the very thing that God uses to transform someone else's eternity. Offering someone a cup of water when they're thirsty. Helping the little old lady cross the road when she actually wants to cross the road, not because you think, oh, let's move her across the road because that would be a nice thing to do. Being in step with the Spirit, listening to the voice of God, that urging, that prompting that comes that says, it's time for you to respond, not just sit. Third point, ministry looks like Jesus. Ministry is servanthood. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. James and John, they'd been sitting there arguing about greatness. They wanted positions, they wanted recognition, they wanted status. And Jesus responds by redefining greatness. It's not position, it's service. It's not prominence, it's sacrifice. Then he points to himself, the King of glory, the one who becomes the servant of all. The word ransom, it refers to the price paid to release a slave or a captive. Jesus didn't merely inspire us, he purchased us. At Calvary, he paid our ransom with his own blood. He served even to the point of death. And if Jesus was willing to wash feet, how can we refuse to humbly serve others? If Jesus was willing to carry the cross, how can we complain about inconvenience? If Jesus gave his life, how can we withhold our time from our Lord? Real ministry, it's not self-promotion, it's self-giving love, it's sacrificial love. And yes, sometimes ministry is public, but often it's hidden. Hospital visits, prayer meetings, encouraging messages, quiet generosity, faithful volunteering, showing up when no one is going to applaud you for being there. That's ministry. That is Christ-like service. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 8 says this: just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We're many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. What does this passage tell us? It tells us that we belong to each other. Christianity is not private spirituality. It's a covenant community. I've met people who have said, oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to go to church. We actually need each other. We need to grow together, to flourish together. And ministry flourishes where humility lives, where humanity is involved, where there are many parts of the body meeting together. Charles Stanley said this, "The greatness of life is measured by its service." The greatness of a life is measured by its service. Maybe that doesn't sound like you or me, but that certainly sounds like Jesus. The greatness of his life was measured by his service, by his willingness to submit to Father's will. The world measures success by applause, but heaven measures greatness by faithfulness. Fourth point, ministry must be empowered by grace and not flesh. Friends, there's a danger in ministry. You can serve God without walking with God. You can become busy, but spiritually barren. You can be active, but spiritually dry. Think about Mary and Martha. Martha was working while Mary was worshipping. And both matter. But worship must come first. Or ministry. Ministry without intimacy with God becomes machinery. It becomes automatic. It becomes muscle memory. And if you're trying to serve the Lord without the Spirit, you'll experience exhaustion. Paul reminds us in Romans 12:1, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Before ministry comes surrender. Before serving comes yielding. Before gifting comes holiness. God is not just looking for ability, he's looking for availability. A glove. There's a glove in my bag over there. A glove by itself can do absolutely nothing. It has shape, it has structure, it has potential, but there is no power. But when a hand fills the glove, everything changes. And friends, we're like that. Without the Holy Spirit, we're just empty. But when God fills us, ministry becomes life-giving. Are you willing to allow God to fill you again, afresh and anew today? The gospel. Let's come to the gospel. The foundation of all ministry is the gospel. Let me be absolutely clear. Ministry does not save you. Serving in a church cannot wash away your sin. Standing in the pulpit and preaching does not save you. Giving does not save. Volunteering does not save. Only Jesus says. Only Jesus saves. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the servant model that we must follow. But only Jesus saves. Romans 10:9, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's only Jesus that can save. Not activity. Not sitting on a chair on a Sunday morning. There are many in the modern world, many people who are near church but far from Christ. There are those who are busy with religion, but strangers to the grace of God. Before we serve Jesus, we must first be saved by Jesus. Let me remind you of the gospel. The gospel is this, that we are sinners separated from God. Our pride, our rebellion, our lust, our selfishness, our sin, all of those things deserve judgment. But God, in his mercy, sent his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus lived the perfect life that we could not live. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose again in victory over sin, the grave, over death and hell. And today, Jesus is alive. And salvation is freely offered to all who repent and believe. Not by works, by grace. Not by religion, by faith. Not by your goodness, but by God's mercy. Have you trusted Christ? Fully trusted Christ? Not admired him? Not just attended church? Not been respectful to Christianity? Have you actually surrendered to Jesus as Lord and Saviour? And if you haven't, why put it off anymore? Come to the cross, come to the empty tomb, come to the risen Christ and be saved. There is no other way. Let me give you a call to action. Church, let me ask, where is your ministry? Not your preference, not your opinion. What is your ministry? And how are you serving the house of God? What is it that you do to be part of the body? And if you're not doing anything, may I encourage you to discover what your gift is. Next time you pray, ask, Lord, how have you shaped me? Pray, seek his guidance, seek his counsel, and then step forward. Gifts are often discovered in serving, but not in sitting. Second thing I would encourage you is stop waiting for the perfect conditions. Some people say, oh, when life settles down, I'll serve. But life never really settles down, does it? So instead of waiting, why not serve now? Let your faithfulness in serving the Lord begin today. The third thing is we must serve humbly. It's not for applause, it's not for recognition, it's all for Jesus. And often those hidden ministries are the holiest ministries. And the fourth point is build people, not platforms. Ministry is all about souls. People matter far more than programs, and disciples matter far more than structures. We're called to love people, we're called to serve people, we are called to point people to Christ. We're called to go and make disciples. In conclusion, friends, the house of God is not built by bricks, it's built by people. People serving, people praying, people giving, people loving, people following Jesus together. The question for us this morning is not, is there ministry in the church? The question for us is, will I answer the call? May we never be content just to admire what other people are doing. May we not be people who just complain about what other people are doing. May we embrace the grace gifts that God has given to us so that we don't just attend the house of God, but we help build it. Because every believer, every single person here has a gift. And every generation matters. And maybe you have a dormant gift. May God awaken that in you. May he stir every weary servant. May we continue to raise up disciples who serve with joy. May we lead with humility. May we be a church that reflects the servant heart of God. And may we follow the one who came not to be served, but to serve. The house of God, the ministry, every believer, every gift, every generation. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.